fact that my partners and I had the guts to start a business in such a challenging environment. Maybe he felt he could trust me because I was trustworthy. But if I was ever tempted to trust him, the feeling usually passed very quickly. Paul and I met regularly for breakfast in the restaurant of a safe hotel. His bodyguards stood by the door. I listened without complaint to his self-centered banter, and I encouraged him in his business dealings. Once he felt confident in my friendship, he began to tone down the bravado and talk about his family background and his struggles in business. Paul, who'd always considered himself a maverick, was at war with his former Russian partners, and their battles were heating up. Their fight was about to turn public, and the terrible aftermath would receive international media attention. One day, I walked down a hall from our temporary office to come upon a bloody scene. One of his bodyguards had been stabbed. By now, Paul was under 24-hour protection and working odd hours because he feared being ambushed. I did my best to remain a friend and a positive influence on him during this period. I drew him out with questions, and we'd talk for an hour or so. Paul had isolated himself to the point that he was either working or at home. He was a virtual prisoner of his security guards, but even their vigilant efforts were not enough. Paul was murdered on November 3, 1996, in a busy Moscow metro station near his office. His death was reported worldwide as a symbol of Russia's struggles with both its new freedoms and its lawlessness. He was believed to be the first American killed by Russian mobsters. Paul was shot 11 times in the head and neck. He died unmarried and without many close companions. He was buried in Russia, a country he'd come to love. It was a sad story, but all too familiar in many ways. Paul had domination tendencies, someone who could manipulate others and give no thought to any agenda but his own, fighting against an army of the same types of leaders. His murder would have been avoidable had he understood how to use his influence properly. Sadly, his fierce devotion to self-preservation and winning the game left him walled off from anyone who could have helped him. I had the privilege of seeing some of the goodness in him. He unburdened himself to me and my partners, and doing so seemed to lighten his soul. At one point, he told us that ours was the only stable relationship in his life. The truth is that I really liked him, though I was not sure I trusted him. On my last meeting with Paul, he thanked me for being a good listener and asked me to pray for him. He then told me and another partner to stay clear of him from that point onward.